Proverbs 27, verse 7. I like Proverbs because Solomon, he keeps it on the bottom shelf.
Yeah.
Amen. And my mind doesn't go up to the top shelf very often, if ever. So I kind of like that stuff on the bottom shelf. PB&J, right? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. And the question is, are you hungry? The verse says this: the full soul loatheth or despises an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet.
That is true.
The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Y'all know I got beehives, right? Everybody know I got beehives? And because of that, I have access to honey and honeycomb. In fact, yesterday I opened up the hives to check them out. And two of the hives have two completely full boxes of honey ready to be stolen. I just need to take the time to do it. It takes several hours, but I need to get that done. But because I have access to honey and honeycomb, this verse kind of rings loud in my mind. There's not a lot of things better than honey. Some people say it's the perfect food. And in many ways, it's actually medicinal. So there's not a lot of things better than honey. I particularly like it on peanut butter, but I like it on a lot of other things too. I'm told that biscuits aren't good for you, but you can sanctify them with honey. Anyway, after eating a big meal, as much as I like honey, even honey doesn't sound good. In fact, it's almost repulsive to think about eating honey after eating a big meal. When you're full, you don't want anything else in your stomach.
Right?
Because you're full. On the other hand, when we're hungry, anything sounds good. Most of you probably have a particular food that you just don't like. For some people, it's green beans. Other people, it's sauerkraut. There's just a long list there of what people don't like to eat. I don't like sauerkraut. The first part of that word tells me I don't need to eat it. Okay? So, I mean, I just don't like it. However, you go 3 days without eating, and sauerkraut's going to sound pretty good. You go 3 days without eating, green beans are going to sound pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? That's just how we are. And so I remember when I was a boy, my daddy, you know how when you're a kid, you complain about all kinds of stuff. And sometimes we don't grow out of that. But I would complain about the food sometimes, and he would simply tell me, if you don't like it, don't eat it. Save it for supper. It'll taste better then. And he was right. It didn't take me just a few times to determine that, you know what? This is my only chance. I need to take this opportunity. So here's a question then. When you're hungry physically, what is your body needing? Anybody want to answer that?
Nourishment.
Nutrition. So if you eat 6 donuts and a great big bottle of Pepsi, are you giving what your body needs to your body? But are you satisfied? You are. You're satisfied. Because you've put something in there.
Right.
Now, what you put in there wasn't what your body needed, but it was something. Okay, it was something for your stomach to get busy with. It was something for it to do, right? But you do feel satisfied. That's how the Christian walk is. Okay? When our fellowship with Jesus, don't miss this, when our fellowship with Jesus is full, sin is not attractive. Look in Proverbs chapter 7. Turn back a few pages. Proverbs chapter 7. We're going to read the beginning of a story that you've probably read many times. Proverbs 7. Solomon is talking here, and he says in verse 7, "And beheld," well, verse 6, "for at the window of my house I looked through my casement," or my window, "and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house." I'm sure most of you have probably read the story and you know the rest of the story. He walked into a trap. He fell into it. And his life was destroyed. Right? What was his problem? He was hungry. Spiritually, he was hungry. He was starving for understanding. He was starving for wisdom. He was starving for peace, like we talked about this morning. He had a major peace deficit. And so what he was trying to do here is he was trying to fill that void. He was hungry. And because he was hungry, sin was real attractive to him. Right? When you're hungry for food, your body sends a signal that you need food. We all know what that's like. It's that gnawing, constant feeling you got in that gut that says, "Eat. Eat." Right? So what are the signs that you're spiritually hungry? This is important because we all get there from time to time. In fact, you can read your Bible daily and still be spiritually hungry.
That's right.
Reading your Bible is not that magic pill that's going to make everything work out wonderful and provide everything that you need, all because you spent a few minutes with your Bible open, scanning through the pages. Jesus didn't say to just read the Bible. He says, "Obey me." Right?
Amen.
It's not about just reading the pages. It's about finding out what we need to do and then doing it. That's the whole reason, or it should be at least, that we read the Bible. So what are the signs that you're spiritually hungry? At the onset, you probably won't even notice it at all. Others may, but you probably won't. Have you ever noticed how it's difficult to recognize our sin? But at this very same time, we can see clearly, 20/20 vision, other people's sin. Right? You notice that? Our sin, though, it creeps up on us, and we don't see it. We get deceived by the devil into thinking something or doing something or not doing something, and we fall into that for whatever reason or another, and we're in that trap. We are in that predicament for a period of time before we even notice it. So at the onset, we probably won't even recognize it. Remember, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Remember, if you eat 6 donuts and a big old glass of Pepsi, you'll feel like you've given your body what it needed. That's why when we're spiritually hungry and we reach out for something that's sinful, it fills that void temporarily. Not because we got what we needed, but because we got something that gave us just a little bit of pleasure and satisfaction. And we feel good about that. In fact, so good that we want to do that again when we get hungry. But we're not feeding our spiritual life with the nutrition that it needs. So what are these signs? One of them is this. Worldly things are more attractive than prayer, Bible study, meditating on God and His Word. You find yourself scrolling through Facebook instead of your Bible app. You spend more time looking at the TV than talking with your family members. Why are we doing these things? We're hungry. We're needing fulfillment. We're needing peace. We're needing love. We're needing the things that only God can provide through the channels that He has already provided. But then what we do is we go looking for something else in a different channel that the devil has provided. Both of them are going to provide some food, but some of it's going to be fake food that's only going to give temporary satisfaction with consequences. Right? So, worldly things are more attractive than prayer and Bible study, Bible meditation. The second thing is this. You become defensive to anyone who tries to hold you accountable. That's a sign that you're hungry, and that you're possibly reaching out into directions for satisfaction, pleasure, and fulfillment where you shouldn't be reaching. Number three, you find yourself associating with worldly people more often than people who are spiritually stronger than you are. In Proverbs, Solomon says that the fool will not go unto the wise. That's what he's talking about. I feel when I'm hungry and I've taken a decline spiritually, whether I know it or not, and or recognize what's happening, I automatically feel uncomfortable around people who are talking about scriptural things. So we avoid it. We'd rather hang out with the guys, if you're a guy, and talk about fishing and hunting and other stuff, racing, things that we just all have some common ground on. But when you bring up Jesus and people start flaking off of that conversation and leaving, they're hungry. By this time, you're already in trouble.
That's right.
Don't get hungry. The consequences are painful. Remember the story we just read about, or we didn't read the whole story, about the young man in Proverbs chapter 7? He was wandering around at night on the wrong street at the wrong time, just curious. He had that gnawing feeling inside. He was hungry. Found something that was attractive. Took the bait. And then the Bible says he was destroyed. It tasted good for a short period of time. Then the consequences set in. Remember, many times when you get spiritually hungry, by the time you recognize that you're spiritually hungry, you're already in trouble. Because you've probably already been reaching for something to fill that void that you shouldn't be reaching for. There's a lot of those things out there. Satan knows what we like. He watches our eyes. He sees what grabs our attention, what makes our eyebrows go up. He knows. And every opportunity he gets, he wants to put that in front of you. He knows when we're hungry. So I just want to encourage all of us tonight. We're not talking about other people. We're talking about ourselves. Are you hungry? Do you feel more comfortable around worldly people than you do Christian people who might hold you accountable or have? Do you feel more comfortable and find it more interesting to spend time on social media or watching TV, listening to secular music instead of what God told us to listen to, which is something that brings honor and glory to Him? These are signs that we're hungry. And when we're hungry, we're going to make some bad choices. Let's all stand and we're going to pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for providing us a copy of it. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to recognize the value of Your Word. Lord, help us to spend time seeking Your face in it. Lord, help us to see what You want us to see in ourselves. Father, I pray that You'd help us to make the changes that we should make. Help us not to get hungry, but to be full of You. We thank You for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are dismissed tonight, but we've got refreshments over there for our birthday celebration for this month. We're going to do this. We're going to go over there. But before we do, we're going to thank the Lord for it here. In case something happens and we kind of hiccup somewhere and everybody's standing around wondering how come we're not eating yet. So we're going to go ahead and pray and thank the Lord for that here. And then we can head on over there. Okay. And before we do pray, how many of you have had a birthday this month or going to have a birthday this month? Okay. For a lot of us, a lot of August birthdays. Why don't we do this? Why don't we just sing happy birthday to those people? I'm one of them, by the way. But I was first. I was on August the 1st. So anyway, so let's pray, or not pray, but let's sing happy birthday to all these people. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Let's pray and thank the Lord for the food. Father, we thank you for this food, and I pray that you would bless it and nourish it to our bodies. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Anniversaries, too.
Anniversaries.
Tomorrow, me and my wife will celebrate our 47.
47? Praise the Lord. Well, happy anniversary. I don't know how she did it. That's right.
Thank you.
She just turned it.
June 1st. We have double way of him hit the first time.
So
hey Josiah.
Forty-seven.
Here's a check.
That's why I'm messing up.
10, 20, 30, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49.